Here's Rain Hamcast podcast number 96, posted September 9th, 2023.
The running time for this Rain Hamcast podcast is 14 minutes 14 seconds, with a station break at 8 minutes 46 seconds. Short pauses for Echo Link and All-Star timer resets occur approximately every 2 minutes 50 seconds.
In 3, 2, 1. I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, with the Rain Hamcast podcast number 96. Did you frequently shop at your local Radio Shack stores in the 90s? In August 1991, the fall catalog was sent out to 7,000 Radio Shack stores. And on page 68, a 2-meter ham radio talkie made its first appearance in a Radio Shack catalog. Just what handy talkie was it? Rain founder-producer Hap Holly, KC9RP, announced to his Rain Report listeners just what it was and just which Radio Shack ham was behind its release.
Extra, extra, read all about it. Radio Shack introduces new 2-meter handheld.
On August 12, 1991, the fall catalogs were shipped to the Radio Shack stores nationwide. On page 68, you'll read about the HTX-202. That's Radio Shack's first fully synthesized 12-memory 2-meter handheld. But before we delve into the particulars of its radio, let's return to the late 80s, when Radio Shack broke new ground when it added the HTX-100 10-meter mobile transceiver to its catalog. Ed Juge, W5TOO, is Director of Market Planning for Radio Shack.
Well, I wish I could take credit for the 10-meter rig, Hap. I thought it would be a good idea, and I guess I put whatever influence I might have behind it. But the two fellows in the merchandising group who really spearheaded that were, I think, WO5H and AA5FL. And they're the ones who would have had the answer to it had it not worked right. But there are a lot of hams in Radio Shack, and certainly a lot of active hams in the merchandising group alone, which is really what most people would probably refer to as a product management group. There are maybe 14, 15 people, and I think more than half of those are ham radio operators. The vice president in charge of the group is an extra class ham. The product manager for the new HTX-202 2-meter handheld is an extra class ham. I think that with the novice enhancement and the sunspot cycle when it was coming up toward the peak, the 10-meter thing made sense, and history, I think, proved we were right. Now with the no-code license taking effect, it is just working better than I think anyone would have dared hope in terms of the number of people it's bringing in and in terms of the fact that 9 out of 10 of them are going off and learning the code. I think that maybe a 2-meter radio makes sense, but we don't have any big desire to get in and compete in the mainstream of the amateur market. So we've chosen to try to make products that we brought to the market be just a little bit different in some respect, where we weren't really trying to compete with the established vendors out there.
We're talking about the HTX-202, a 2-meter handheld, and the risk of sounding like a commercial. What does it have to offer?
Well, the HTX-202 is 2 meters only in a day when certainly there's a lot of interest in dual band units. It has 12 independently programmable memory channels, a calling channel, and 3 priority channels. It's a 5-watt unit on 12 volts DC or 1 watt with a low power setting. It has a battery saver. It uses the same ICOM batteries or that type of battery that was used on the IC2AT or 32AT series of HTs, and yet it isn't a big unit. If you put a 6-cell NiCad pack on it, and say the ICOM W2A, which I happen to own, the radios are within a 16th of an inch, probably the same height. And at their widest point, there maybe is a quarter of an inch difference in them. Of course, the ICOM is 3 different widths as you look up and down it. So it looks like a smaller radio, but really probably isn't. Anyway, the 202 has got a lot of pretty neat features to it. For example, it's one of 2, I guess, walkie-talkies on the market today that use true FM, not phase modulation. The audio just sounds beautiful. The receiver audio is so strong and so clear and undistorted that you'll have a lot of trouble believing it's coming out of a walkie-talkie. It comes with continuous tone transmit and receive capability. You don't have any extras to buy. In fact, the 2 tones, the transmit and receive tones, are actually independently programmable on the same channel. I don't know of any other walkie-talkie that does that. It poses some interesting possibilities. I don't know whether there's a demand for that today or not. In addition, it's got, of course, the touchtone pad on it, which is used for DTMF dialing, but there's also a selective paging feature where you can program a 5-digit tone into your HT and someone else has to send that specific tone to alert your HT. There's a 5-number memory dialer that stores up to 15 digits, so you can use that for auto patching or DTMF paging. The machine will scan for either an active channel, or if you happen to be in an area where everything seems to be active, it'll scan for a vacant channel. And the scanning step is settable to 5, 10, 20, 25, 50, or 100 kilohertz. There's also an upper and lower scanning limit that's settable, so you've got a VFO scan capability. It scans pretty quick, too. It's like 25 channels per second, which is about the same speed as our scanners, which have what we call hyperscan. You can select the priority channel scan interval and have it scan every 4, 8, 12, or 16 seconds. I don't think I've owned an HT, and I've owned quite a few of them that didn't have that pretty well fixed. Multifunction scanning, of course, you can scan the standard memories or the priority memories or frequency range. The resume can be set to happen 10 seconds after it stops or when stay on the channel as long as there's a carrier there or just once it finds a carrier, stay there, period. There's a very interesting little feature. We have some repeaters in this area that time out if you talk too long. And this has a transmit timeout on it. You turn it on or off, but you can set it to, after a preset delay of 30, 60, or 120 seconds, to sound a beep and quit transmitting, which kind of forces you to reset the local repeater, keeps you from timing it out. There's a one-year parts and labor warranty on the machine, but the thing that I really think is outstanding about it, we're in a very RF-rich environment here in Fort Worth, Texas. There is a tremendous amount of intermod. I have never used an HT that on an outside antenna, mag mount antenna, on a vehicle that was usable within about 2 miles of downtown Fort Worth. And this machine is usable anywhere in the area. Comparing it with an outstanding ICOM mobile transceiver that I have, for example, anywhere, and this is both of them on 5/8 wave outside antennas, anytime I get intermod on the frequency I was listening to on one, I'd get it on the other one. But I found several cases where the intermod was so strong and the signal I was trying to hear weak enough that the ICOM would not pull it out, and the HTX-202 would let me hear it through the intermod. And that is remarkable because the ICOM is one of the cleanest radios I've ever been able to find for use in this particular area. The reason I think that's happening is because the design criteria, the designers were given a specification that says, we don't want it to work outside the band at all. We want you to build the tightest front ends you can build. We want it to be as intermod proof as it's capable of getting.
You're listening to a 1991 Rain Report, billboarding Radio Shack's introduction of its first amateur radio handheld, the HTX-202 2-meter HT, with Radio Shack Director of Marketing Planning, Ed Juge. W5TOO. We'll continue Hap Holly, KC9RP's 1991 conversation with Ed, after you ID your station. This is Rain Hamcast Podcast number 96. I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, and we'll be right back.
It will hear intermod, but it appears to perform better in the presence of intermod than any HT I've ever seen, and it appears to perform as well as the best of the regular mobile rigs. I think that's probably the best feature of the whole thing.
So this radio will not go out of band. Do you think that somewhere along the line, some hotshot somewhere will probably find a way to unlock the secret to getting it to go out of band?
Well, this is not a case, as far as I'm aware. I'm sure somebody is going to figure out a way to do something. I'd be surprised if they didn't. But this was not a case where we said, well, we'll just make it work in the band, like ICOM does, for example, and Kenwood and Yaesu. And if you've got a MARS license and if you send us a copy of it, we'll tell you how to make it work outside the band. I'm told that it was designed to where it, well, I hate to use the word impossible, but that's the word that was given to me. It's impossible to make it transmit outside the band. That's a very dangerous word to use, and I use it with reservation and with the conviction that somebody might prove me wrong.
Shall we say it would be difficult?
Well, I think, yeah, it would be difficult. It was certainly not designed for wide coverage and just lock out everything that was outside the band. If you get very far outside the band, you're not supposed to be able to receive anything because the receiver is designed to be very tight and as intermod free as we could get it.
Are we talking about 144.0 to 148.0?
That's exactly what we're talking about. If you're on 148.0 and you turn the knob one more click, you're on 144.0 and vice versa.
How accessible will this radio be for the blind ham? It doesn't have a voice synthesizer.
No, it does not.
But does it have any dynamic engineering that may help the blind person to use it?
I don't know what it would be. Like most of the other radios on the market, it's got beeps when you press the keys, unless you turn them off. And the keys are nice and pretty good sized where they're not difficult to press. And there are only three controls on the top, the channel selector, volume, and squelch. So it would be a pretty easy radio to use, as much so, I think, as any of the other HTs.
Why the size? Why not make it smaller?
Well, if you design it too small, I'm not sure you can put everything in it that you need to get in it in order to do the filtering on the front end of the receiver that you want. And that is remarkable because the ICOM is one of the cleanest radios I've ever been able to find for use in this particular area. Part of the problem is we were trying to make it a very reasonably priced machine. Miniaturization is exceptionally expensive. The smaller they get, the more expensive they get, as a rule.
What accessories will be available either with the HT at time of purchase or separately?
Well, the things that come with it are the battery charger.
Now, that charger is a wall charger?
Yeah, it's a wall charger, a NiCad battery, an alkaline battery pack, a belt clip, and the antenna, and, of course, a little wrist strap. So there isn't much else to buy. We don't have a drop-in charger for it. We do have, new this year in the catalog, a handheld speaker microphone at $19.95 that will work on it and is also compatible with Yaesu and ICOM transceivers.
What is the advantage, Ed, of an FM transceiver versus phase modulated transceiver?
Well, I'm not sure I can give you a technical explanation to that, but the answer, in very simple and very layman-type terms, is that FM, as opposed to phase modulation, gives you a cleaner, richer-sounding audio when you're working voice, and I'm told that it gives you better operation than packet radio as well, although I'm not sure I understand all the ins and outs of that. But to listen to one of the radios on the air, it does have exceptionally nice audio to it. I certainly can believe that. It really has a nice sound to it.
So this handheld will have fast enough switching for packet use?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you bet. Let me put it to you this way. The product manager for this thing runs a multi-port bulletin board. He's a big packet operator. If it didn't work good on packet, I think he would have shipped it back.
And that concludes part one of our two-part conversation with former Radio Shack Director of Marketing Planning, Ed Juge, W5TOO. Hap Holly, KC9RP, will return with the conclusion of his 1991 conversation with Ed in Podcast 97, scheduled to post September 23, 2023. Rain Hamcast Podcast can be found in many places, including Odyssey, therainreport.com, and archive.org. 73 to you all. I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, bidding you a very 73. Keep on hamming.